This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. With the Democratic and Republican conventions around the corner, we look back 100 years to the 1920 conventions and election.
It was a moment when the country was just in the midst of a set of really interlocking crises. It really seems to speak to a little bit of what we're going through today.
And how Americans then were dealing with many of the same crises we're facing today.
The lesson of 1920 is that whatever happens at the presidential level, these other political ideas and political forces aren't going to go away.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you get your podcasts.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning that the U.S. coronavirus death toll could hit 200,000 by Labor Day. That is, the U.S. has suffered its highest daily number of deaths since mid-May, more than 1,500. Coast to coast, states are recording bleak firsts. California became the first state to top 600,000 infections, while Georgia had its deadliest day on record. We'll hear how the pandemic is affecting summer jobs later in the program. The U.S. Postal Service has warned 46 states and the District of Columbia that some mail-in ballots may not be counted in time for November's presidential election. That is according to documents obtained by the Washington Post. This is especially a concern for states that allow voters to request ballots just days before the election. A historic number of absentee ballots are expected to be cast during the pandemic, at the very time the Postal Service struggles with financial troubles and delays. We'll take a closer look at this situation later in the program. Firefighters in Southern California faced an uphill battle today against three raging wildfires. A statewide heat wave, bone-dry conditions, and gusty winds made for a difficult task. The largest fire has charred more than 18 square miles and threatens more than 5,400 homes. It has little containment. Residents described the scene as the flames spread.
I thought, this is getting out of control. All of a sudden, that little 10-foot section of smoke up there was wider and wider and wider. Next thing, it was growing and growing. The whole top was smoking. And then fire department started coming in, all the sheriffs, et cetera, telling me to get out.
The weekend's forecast for the area calls for triple-digit temperatures and extreme fire danger. The death toll from a powerful windstorm that slammed the Midwest earlier this week has now risen to four people. Millions of acres of crops were damaged, and some 250,000 Iowans are still without electricity 5 days later. Governor Kim Reynolds said that teams are working around the clock to restore power.
What we need to do is we need to get power to Iowans and to those that are affected. They've tried to prioritize, but I want you to know the team that's standing behind me, your local emergency managers, your mayor, everybody is working to make sure that we can get that done in a timely manner.
100 members of the Iowa National Guard arrived in Cedar Rapids today to help clear debris away from power lines. A former FBI lawyer is expected to plead guilty to making a false statement as part of a federal probe into the origins of the Bureau's Russia investigation. A lawyer for Kevin Kleinsmith said that he will admit that he altered an email from the CIA that was used to get court permission for a secret wiretap on former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. President Trump weighed in this afternoon.
What happened should never happen again. So he is pleading guilty. Terrible thing. Terrible thing. Fact is, they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
The charging document does not allege any criminal wrongdoing by anyone else and offers no evidence of a broader conspiracy to undermine President Trump's 2016 campaign. In Belarus, tens of thousands marched through the capital city of Minsk today, angered over a disputed election and the brutal police crackdown that followed. Police have freed about 2,000 people arrested during this week's demonstrations. But reports of widespread torture of those in custody are driving fresh outrage. All this as the European Union is drafting a list of people in Belarus who could face sanctions for their role in the crisis. Nick Schifrin has our story and a warning. Some of the images are graphic. You may find them disturbing.
The scars of authoritarian rule are written on Vartan Grigorian's back. and in the stitches holding together his eye.
I was told to lie down, and so I did. They started beating me. I did not resist. They took me to a police truck and beat me there as well.
He was in a group of men released from a detention facility that included 19-year-old Alexander Vilks in the green jacket. That's his mother. He'd been held for 2 days without any communication. And when he shows her the wounds inflicted inside, she can't bear it.
They treated us as if we were terrorists. They beat us very badly, mostly hitting our legs, but also across the body.
These were some darkest days in the history of modern Belarus.
Hanna Lupakova is a journalist for the independent site Outriders.
Whenever a person was transported from one place to another, that person was bitten. There were 80 people that were held there for 24 hours without food, without water, and basically they could not sleep.
Since Sunday, authorities have cracked down on massive protests that followed what they call an election stolen by Alexander Lukashenko, known as Europe's last dictator. The demonstrations are the largest since independence 30 years ago. When one protest of 10,000 reached the government building today, soldiers laid down their shields. Belarus's top security official apologized to beaten protesters. And today the protest expanded to workers at state-owned factories, the backbone of the Belarusian economy. They organized a general strike. These workers were asked to raise their hand if they voted for Lukashenko or for opposition candidate Svetlana Tikhanovskaya.
Those who were not interested in politics have suddenly understood the nature of this government, of this president. Those who were not against Lukashenko are now taking another side because of this police brutality, of this police violence.
Today, Tikhanovskaya offered a way forward.
I call on the authorities to end this and enter a dialogue. I ask the mayors of all cities to organize peaceful mass rallies.
But this is still Lukashenko's regime.
So they put me on the ground. They put a sheet over my head so I really couldn't see what was happening.
Marissa Durham is an American master's student whose boyfriend Stas Gorlik is a Belarusian who's been studying in the States. They weren't protesting, but police forcibly entered their apartment 2 days ago and took him away.
Stas always did everything to always make sure that I was safe no matter what. And he always took care of me and he always knew. And the most that I want to do right now is try to protect him and help him.
Late tonight, her fear was eased. After our interview, Stas was released. And 26 years later, a president's grip on power is getting weaker. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.
In Afghanistan, the government released the first wave of its final 400 Taliban prisoners today. It was a key demand for peace negotiations with the militant group in a bid to end more than 18 years of war. Officials registered the prisoners' information as they processed their release. Taliban officials said the government released 86 prisoners today. There was no immediate word when the rest will be freed. A congressional watchdog group said today that the top two officials at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security were appointed to their posts without legal authority. It found the appointments of DHS Acting Secretary Chad Wolf and his acting deputy Ken Cuccinelli violated succession rules at federal agencies since the last Senate-confirmed DHS secretary resigned in 2019. The watchdog has now referred the issue to the agency's inspector general. In economic news, retail spending returned to pre-pandemic levels in July, but sales weren't quite as strong as analysts had hoped. And trading was light on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 34 points to close at 27,931. The Nasdaq fell 23 points, and the S&P 500 shed half a point. Still to come on the NewsHour, the Trump administration intensifies efforts to undermine mail-in voting and the Postal Service. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver details how the league is able to play games during the pandemic. Temporary coronavirus response jobs take the place of traditional summer jobs for young people, and much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.